You're tuning in to Big Guy Small Talk, where we have conversations and not interviews. Although sometimes we do have interviews. What's up, people? It's your boy, Raphael. Today is Monday, the 26th. You'll be listening to this maybe on Thursday, the 1st. I think Thursday's the 1st. Yeah, it is. Regardless, I hope you're having a good week. Hope you're having a good day. I had jury duty this morning, and it was a long one. Though I like the process of a trial by jury. It's just definitely not fun to have jury duty. So now I'm chilling, though, feeling good. But anyways, no one cares about that. Let's get into today's episode. So today's guest is Flip. And Flip is the co-founder of the Infinite Agency here in Dallas, which is a digital advertising and marketing firm. And they're awesome. I've done work with them. They're great people. He always hires good people. It's a fun place to be. It's real hip, real trendy, real cool. But anyways, he was chill enough to grace me with his presence for an episode of the podcast. And we did not talk about his business. So if you're interested in what he does, look him up on YouTube, Infinite Agency Flip, Dallas, Texas, and I'm sure you'll find some interviews he's done or some articles that he's done where they've interviewed him for magazines or online magazines or online media, etc. We talked about him. It was a fun conversation. We talked about Michael Jackson. We talked about him growing up biracial and how it's affected him in his life. We talked about a lot. I don't know, it was a really good conversation. It's fun, it's entertaining, he's a great guy. If anyone knows who Flip is, you know he's a funny bastard. He's definitely fun to have in a room. He brings the party, he brings a good time with him. So without further ado, enjoy this episode. And damn, have a good day, for real. You're alive, breathing, hopefully, you know, you're healthy. Just have a good day, put a smile on your face, make someone else's day better. Anyways, I'll shut the hell up. Enjoy the episode, people. Testing.
One, two, three.
Four, five, six, seven, eight. Nine. That's 3-4. I love 3-4. It's one of my favorite time signatures.
You love what?
3-4 time.
Like triplets?
No, just 3-4 time. Triplets
one,
are different.
Two, three. One, two, three.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we're live. We're not live.
Someone's listening to us right now. But there's not even. I can't find them. So, I don't know what you're gonna ask me. So let's just.
I'm not gonna interview you. Interview you.
Listen, I was born May 16th, 1983, the same day that Michael Jackson debuted the moonwalk.
No way.
Yes, my
mother, on the exact same day. Okay, so you were born on the day.
Well, I got to do the whole thing again, huh?
No, the whole thing.
I was born May 16th, 1983.
Right on.
The same day Michael Jackson, well, the world was introduced to the moonwalk. So he technically recorded it a few days earlier, but it was shown on May 16th, 1983. So my mom was in the hospital, and she saw.
Oh, she saw it while you.
Well, she saw Michael Jackson moonwalk. Yeah, I was born at 12:23 a.m. So it was in the morning, but that evening she was still in the hospital and she saw it.
So she was just chilling.
So you know, obviously, I was destined for greatness.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
You know what else?
I don't know anything about the day I was born, other than it was a Saturday. Your story is cooler.
I don't know. I think mine was a Monday. No, it must have been some kind of weekend, right? Because you wouldn't debut something that great on a Monday or a Tuesday. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if you're Michael Jackson, you're just but I don't give a damn.
That's sure. So the moonwalk, I didn't realize it was in the 80s that was debuted. I thought it was earlier.
Yeah, first time recording of him doing the moonwalk.
Who told you that? Your mom?
Yeah, I remember my mom telling me, but I remember doing research on it and just being, is that really true? And the craziest thing is that it's actually Janet Jackson's birthday, too.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Happy birthday, sister.
Yes. Is that Janet Jackson's my sister is what I've actually came here to tell you.
No, but is that why he debuted?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Was he like,
I don't know, dude. I'm not in Michael Jackson's head, bro.
Could you imagine being at that birthday party where everyone's like, happy birthday, and then it was like, oh shit, turn on the TV.
Yo, do you see what your brother's doing? She's like, mother, Michael, or whatever.
God damn it, Michael. Always taking the thunder.
That's funny.
I am me too, Janet. You know.
Is that your Michael Jackson?
That is. Try it again. As good as it gets.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Janet. I just. No.
He was a great one. He was a great.
We should just do Michael Jackson impressions the whole time.
We can. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
We shouldn't, but I just think that's crazy, man. Like, to do it on your sister's birthday is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, you know, I never really thought about it.
Have you ever outshined your siblings on their birthdays? Or like on
not,
big days?
I wouldn't think of like on a big day, but I will say, you know, my sister, she must have been really annoyed with me because I, like, everything she did, I try to do, you know? So, like, she did theater and, like, I did theater and then I, like, majored in theater in college, right. You know? And it just, like, kept going. But
who picked up things faster, you or your sister? Like, if you wanted to do something.
You know what? I don't know, dude, because we're 6 years apart, right? So. Are you talking about, like, early on, like, who spoke first or whatever? You're saying, like,
no,
just
I mean
naturally.
Like, she did theater and you did theater, but who took to it easier? Who took to it better, more naturally?
Man, I feel like, you know, the way my personality is, I'm just kind of, like, all in on stuff. And so it, I don't think she is that way to that intensity. She's a little bit more, not even keel, I guess, but she's into, I mean, she's definitely passionate about, you know, what she does and, and, you know, and she's an artist as well. She's a makeup artist and I don't know. And she's always been good at everything that she's been able to do. But, oh, maybe.
I think I
lives in California.
Yeah. What's her name?
Jessie. I also, I have like, four, you know, I've got two other sisters and four other brothers too. So maybe one of them you met.
I think I met one of your sisters. Yeah.
Maybe Mary Catherine because she lives here.
Maybe.
Was she white?
Yes.
Mary Catherine.
Okay. What's the story there? How do you have a white sister?
I've got two white sisters.
You're not white though.
And I have four Filipino brothers that are full Filipino. My parents were married before, you know, my mom. My mom was married to two white dudes, had two white kids with those husbands. And then my dad was married to a Filipina. She had four kids. So there we go.
There you go.
So I got big mixed family. It's a lot of fun.
How was that growing up? Pretty cool.
Well, I grew up with my sister, you know, so like.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really have this extended family until kind of later on. I mean, I always knew about them, obviously. And I grew up with my sister, Jessie, definitely, and Mary Catherine, too. But I don't know. I mean, I'm the baby. Oh, you're the baby, too, right?
Yeah, I'm the baby.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
We have a lot in common.
Growing up in that, I mean, it's just, you know, you're adored, but you're also, like, forgotten about a little bit, you know?
All the time.
Which is so weird, you know? It's like, oh, you're cute and blah, 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 but it's like they didn't. Like your parents, like
you get left apart.
I was like my sixth, my dad's like sixth child, and my mom's fourth child. I mean, by the time they were just like, do whatever you want, you know, just like, whatever, you know. I had no rules growing up. It was crazy.
I had the opposite. I had a lot of rules. But I was the only boy. And so my mom.
Like, what were your rules? Like, you had to be home.
Every certain time? Dude, fucking name it. I had it. My mom was strict.
Really?
Yeah. I had to be home before it got dark, which was different every fucking day.
What about, like, staying over at people's houses and that?
I definitely just couldn't do it willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough.
That's so funny.
Yeah, my mom was really, really strict, and I think a lot of that was because she wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to, like, be a shitty person. But I think she could have lightened up a little bit.
Well, that's
a little
good.
Bit, Mom. Just a little bit.
Is there something about, like, the culture that kind of made them a little bit more strict?
Yeah.
Or is that more common, I guess, in
Hispanic culture? No, I don't. I think what's more common in Hispanic culture is you let the boys do whatever they want.
Really? So that's interesting.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
But I think my mom grew up that way.
Mm.
And so she was like, you're not going to be able to...
I get this chance. Yeah. I'm going to rewrite history.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, you're not going to be this entitled, misogynistic man. You're going to take care of your sisters.
Well, whatever.
You're going to have the most chores. You're going to have the most rules. You're going to have to make A's. You're going to have to be home on time.
Yeah,
you're going to have to get a job, pay bills. Like, it was a lot of work, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it worked out. She was never happy.
So it did work out.
I mean,
I love my mom.
You're a decent man today. So
thank you.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Unlike me.
No, you're a great guy. So, anyways, I realized we didn't. Who are you? Introduce yourself.
Oh, I talked about when I was born in Michael Jackson, but I didn't talk about me.
Just whatever you want to say to.
Okay, sure.
I'm going to put it in the intro. I'm going to have to cut it.
Oh,
I don't give a fuck. Like,
this is the remix version, dog. My name's Flip Croft Cadero, or Flip Croft Cadarao, depending on how you want to say it. It was the white version and the...
How do you want it said?
You know, it's tough. It's tough because my entire life I've been Cadero, right? You know, my dad's name was Jesus. When he moved to this country, he changed it to Jess, right? So it's, Jess Cadero.
I did not know
that. So there's just a lot of this kind of American dream of my dad being an immigrant and then kind of coming over and really trying to live the best American life, you know, and which includes like, you know, I mean, not as trite as this, but, you know, finding a white wife and, you know, and like falling in love with a white woman and having half white babies or whatever, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying that he was just motivated by that, but there's definitely, you know, something about that where my dad wanted to, you know, I don't know if it was like to try to get rid of his Filipino culture, but definitely wanted to assimilate, definitely wanted to be American, definitely wanted to succeed in this society. And that's one way to do it. And honestly, it's a successful way to do it, to be, you know, to be truthful. But
which is funny because you're Filipino.
Yeah.
But are you into like the Filipino culture?
It's a good question. Yeah, not really. So I never was raised with it, right?
Right.
So I really didn't find kind of an appreciation for my culture. I mean, I always knew I was Filipino. I was very excited about that. And, you know, that's cool or whatever.
It made you different.
But but I didn't, you know, I didn't grow up eating the food. I didn't grow up speaking the language. I'd never visited the Philippines, you know. And it wasn't later on into my adult life where I started just getting more interested in it and learning about it and just learning where I come from. And I've been able to visit now, which is cool. And I know a little bit of Tagalog, not enough, but I, you know, cook Filipino food is a part of my, you know, weekly menu or like monthly menu, I guess, every month that, you know, kind of comes through. But so I'm really trying to rediscover it and trying to learn it for myself.
Yeah. I got asked this, which like is reminding me what like you're saying about as you've gotten older, it just seems like you're more interested in where you've come from. So I was at a friend's house a couple weeks ago and his friend was talking about when she was in school, her roommate who was from a suburb in California was black. And when they went to school together in Chicago, they were sort of in the city. And so her roommate started identifying more with inner city black people, which is different. You know, like it's a different sort of culture. I mean, like in Dave Chappelle's special, he breaks it down really well where he talks about being the only poor kid in the suburbs. I feel like a lot of minorities felt that way.
Sure.
If your parents worked hard and got out of the...
Out of the hood?
Yeah, out of the hood. You're like, oh, I'm poor here.
Right. No, totally.
Yeah, so she asked me what I thought about it, which kind of offensive, but I was like, all right. But I was like, it's difficult because when you're, I don't know, like when I think the word identify is tough, but I didn't grow up with a ton of Mexican culture. I grew up with Mexican and American culture, but I grew up with Chicano culture.
Mm.
And then I grew up with hip-hop culture.
Okay, so can you explain Chicano culture?
Like my mom had a set of tapes that were all about like La Raza Unida, like about unifying the Hispanic race and coming together and getting politically involved and active and being revolutionaries. And she made me watch them, like, as a kid.
That's cool.
She was like, you have to watch them. Like, it wasn't like, put that in and watch it. And so, and, you know, I watched, like, Zoot Suit with my dad and just, like, a lot of Chicano things. But we grew up in the country, so it was weird.
It's a far removed from actually what.
Right. And so I'm telling her, like, you know, when I'm around, but when I'm around a bunch of Mexicanos, like, I feel like I'm with my people. And I'm sure the same way. Like, if you're around a bunch of Filipinos, you're like, oh, I feel, like, you feel a little foreign because it's some stuff's new, but you're like, this is, they look like me.
Well,
this is different.
Totally. Right. So there's, so there's like yes and no. Right. So I totally believe that. I had a similar kind of experience.
Right on.
Yo, that's, we got to pause for that Bud Light special.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So Flip, for those of you who don't know, is a founder of the Infinite Agency. Is that cool if I tell people that?
Sure.
I can always delete it.
Yeah. I'm a co-founder.
Started
this. Yeah. So it wasn't all me.
Yeah. And y'all do, you can explain.
Sure. We're a full service, advertising agency in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Focus a lot in, digital advertising and social content and all kind of the new. That's what we're trying to. Yes, we're trying to focus on is that new new. Well, I mean, you know, it's such a changing marketplace and there's new things every day. So it's like, depending on when you listen to this podcast, could be like old. Like, you know,
true.
Talk about Facebook now. It's like people are like, Facebook's still a thing.
Yeah, good point. But then Bud Light is one of the people you do their work for.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Anheuser-Busch is one of our biggest accounts. We handle their, you know, Budweiser, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra for some regional work, and then we do some national work for them too.
And they have beer in the office.
We have lots of beer here. That's all. There's lots of it here. It's crazy.
Open a refreshing Bud Light.
Yes, nice. I hope we're gonna get paid for this. I'm probably not.
So tell me your experience, though.
Oh, yeah. So I'd say yes and no, because the research shows that, obviously, we create biases towards people who look like us and who act like us and talk like us, right? It's like there's conformity in there that's helpful, especially when two strangers are meeting, right? It's biological, obviously. You know, you saw people that walked around like you and that were humans. Well, maybe they're a little bit more trustworthy than the freaking orangutans with the, you know, whatever. So, you know, as that kind of, I think, so that's the truth. That happens. And I had a similar experience to your friend. I guess it was your friend's friend who went through this. Your friend's roommate, right?
Yeah, where she moved from.
Yeah, so I went to a, I'd say suburban public school, predominantly white, but, you know, had a mix of minorities there, right? Well, I ended up transferring to high school. I went to a Catholic private school, which was predominantly white, but not really predominantly anything else. Like, you know, it had one black guy in my class, like in my entire grade. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, a couple black chicks, you know, a few Hispanics and stuff because it was, you know, obviously Catholic. And what do you do? Are you lighting?
It's a gram.
Are you gramming right now?
No, I missed the button, so honestly, no, that just happened.
I'm like, dude, I'm trying to like, okay.
Tell me the story, man.
Okay, I'll keep going.
I'll put it away.
All good, all good.
No, if you're distracted by it, I'll put it away. It's all about you.
Anyways, so, you know, there was whatever. You know, when I got to the school, it was weird because, you know, a lot of my friends at public school were other minorities, right? And not that, like, I planned on it or whatever. It's just being a biracial person, you know, and growing up and really figuring out who you are, it's challenging because there's always, you always have one foot in another. And, like, with me, it was even more confusing because, you know, I didn't really have a connection to my Filipino heritage other than my dad, right? So, like I said, I didn't talk the talk, I didn't eat the food, I didn't know what that was like. All I know is that when I look in the mirror, I look different, right? I don't look like my white friends, right? I don't look like my mom at all, you know. And you know, kind of going through, at least the way I've kind of experienced that, was obviously I'm connected to a lot of different people, because I, there is no one, that sounds so funny, but there was no one that looked like me, really.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, totally. Like, I don't have that kind of acculturation that other people get to have, right?
When you see someone, you're like, oh, okay.
Right, so when I see someone who's half Asian and half white, I talk to them, because I'm always like, you know, what's your deal? You know, blah, blah, are you? I'm always curious about, you know, what their ethnicity is, and, you know, I'll talk to them, and it's... and it's just interesting, because I don't get a lot of those conversations, because there's not tons of us out there yet. I think there's going to be, you know, it's going to continue. You're right. I mean, yet. I believe in the gray race. That's what's going to happen. But yeah, so I didn't grow up with any other half white, half Asian kids, you know? But as you kind of go through that, it's always this, just interesting kind of tension or dichotomy. I remember when I got granted some money by like this Filipino nonprofit.
Oh, nice.
Right. I was Filipino. I was going to college. So there was like, got like $1,000, right? Or whatever, whatever it was, $1,500 or something. And I remember going to the thing and like receiving the money. And there's all these Filipino, because it's like this nonprofit was every Filipino in like DFW or something, right? So... Yeah. Right. And so I'm like, oh, look at all these Filipino kids. Like, oh, okay, cool, you know? And it was the first time, but not the last time this happened, that the Filipino kids looked at me. First thing they say is, you're not full Filipino, right? Or, are you half white? First thing, like, off the bat. And it's, I was like, I've never, it's like almost, I never met a Filipino kid before. I'm like, this is weird, you know? And,
yeah.
And it was just crazy, because like there's always this, okay, well, I love being Filipino. I want to know this about my culture. I want it to be a part of me, you know? But at the same time, like, I'm not fully accepted. I mean, it's not like they're hating on me or anything, but there is this, you're different, you know? And so like, no matter where I go, there's always this little bit, whether, you know, people obviously don't typically talk about it, but I think there's this unconscious bias, or just unconscious thoughts, you know, of,
yeah,
you know, things that go on that you don't, that, you know, you realize, okay, this person looks a little different. Looks a little weird. It's the same reason why I think babies, when they look at me, dude, they can't not, they like stare at my face, because they're always like, what is this? Like, that's what I totally believe. I think they're just discovering, they're trying to figure out the world, and they look at this face and they're like, what is this?
This is a different one.
You know, like, what's going on here or whatever. So, and whatever, I'm pretty animated too, so maybe that's it. But yeah, so I mean, I think that's, I guess that's been my kind of, I don't know, my experience with kind of being.
Well, and I think it's natural,
you know,
to be. I mean, she was so, the girl asking me the question was so aggravated with her roommate, because she was like, "You're not even from the inner city. How can you talk for them?" You know, because she was getting involved with BLM, and she was like, doing writing, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She was expressing herself as someone from the inner city, mm-hmm. even though she didn't come from that. And I was just like, it's hard to not do that. Like, if you're a minority, or if you have any sense of your culture, like, even if you're white, but you feel Irish, you know, like your parents raised you pretty Irish, or to hold, you know, and then you go to Ireland, you're like, fuck, these are my people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just feel like, damn, this is like my family.
Yeah.
So I think explaining that to her, she's like, oh, okay.
I see. And it goes so, it's so much deeper to that, too. It's like, you can't, it's stuff you can't even explain. Like, I really can't. Biological, like, you know?
Right.
It's like really, yeah.
Well, babies, I mean, like, if you don't, kids are like inherently biased, right? I mean, developmental studies have shown that, and they've also shown the best way to get rid of that bias is to just put your kid around
other
kids who look different.
Sure.
It's like, if your kid's black, put around some Mexicans and whites, some Asians,
people. See what happens to them.
Yeah, they'll be all right, you know. Or rather, they won't be so biased,
right?
So I don't know, I just always think that stuff's interesting, but I think it's like, I think,
but it's so challenging, right? Okay, so sorry, but
like, no, you're fine.
Like, I totally believe that too. I'm a big proponent of diversity. I think just selfishly, I like diversity, because when there's different shades in the room, I feel more comfortable because I feel like it's like I view myself as a myriad,
right?
You know, and so when I see that in a room, that energizes me, that gets me excited or whatever. But the problem with that is like, which is great, and like diversity is awesome, but like what do we do as people? Like we group together based on that stuff, you know. That's why you've got, I mean, there's a whole different reasons why different neighborhoods have different races and cultures, but also a part of it is we just naturally are attracted and group together with people that look like us, you know, which is just, I mean, and that's the, you know, that's a freaking research. It's true. It's like, when you're hiring people, like you hire people like you, that look like you, that, you know, and to be conscious of that is a really tough thing.
Yeah.
Because you have to recognize your own bias.
And that's why it's good to put other people around you, right?
Sure.
And I think anyone, I mean, I think that's why it's good. Like when I get asked about affirmative action, you know, I have mixed feelings because I'm more conservative and I don't want to talk politics.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
But I'm like, we need it though. Like if you just meet like a few inherently racist people, because they don't have to be racist on purpose. It's like the racism is just, it's so in there that they don't really realize it. And it's like, you meet a few of them, you're like, I think we still need affirmative action. You know, I think we need something kind of keeping people in check and making sure that decisions are made by a diverse group of cultures and thoughts and ideas. You know,
which a benefit. Totally agree with that. Totally believe in that. Hardest thing ever. Why? Because look at the companies that are in power. I mean, they're mainly run by white dudes, you know, and I mean, that is what it is. Like, you still don't have a selection base that's diverse yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, on the majority standpoint, obviously there's, you know, there's outliers and there's other companies that are minority run, women run, all that stuff. Like, you know,
coming up and killing it.
Sure, but you know, still traditionally, like, where's all the money? Like, and where's all the power? Like, it's still there. So
yeah,
you know. But we're not going to talk politics.
We can. It's up to you. I don't really.
Well, it's just that's a challenge, right? So the real challenge is, like I said, I think it's you have to recognize your own bias, recognize that you have it, no matter what. Like, no matter where you came from, you have a bias. As long as you can be self-aware of it, understand it, have a conversation with it.
Yeah.
And
And
realize what you're making your decision on.
Well, and I think force yourself to meet people different than you and go through the growing process. Because I know people who I went to school with, or even at SMU, right? I always felt like the most out of place person when I went there for grad school. Is you good?
My food's here.
Your food's here?
But I want to hear about you because I totally get it, dude.
No, but I just felt so out of place. And it was hard because I wasn't just out of place, like I was the only Hispanic person, but I dressed not, you know, I wasn't wearing nice clothes or bro clothes every day. I wore like sweats and hoodies or shorts and hoodies.
You didn't have rainbows and popped collars.
Yeah. And then also like it was cultural too, because I come from a small town where everyone's friendly. They say hi to each other.
Yeah.
No one ever said hi to me at SMU. And that was rough. And so when I met you, I was like, oh, fuck, someone here is chill. I was like, oh, okay, you're chill. This is different. Like, this is what I would like to be around the majority of the time instead of this weird. I mean, it's honestly like a lot of Dallas in general, I feel like.
Totally.
There's a lot of fakeness in Dallas.
Well, there's a few things, but I think an interesting thing is that, you know, there's a reason why. Like what did I just say? We find people who are like ourselves. So like that is that pack, that is like evolutionary. Like that's it, you know? And so like how did you survive at SMU? You somehow we got connected and we found other people that are kind of like-minded and similar. And
went to the Slip-In a lot.
And we freaking partied at the Slip-In, which rest in peace, because
that's some sad shit.
Dude, there's
like
whatever.
Like I didn't like. I've always not liked gentrification, to a point. I mean, it's a consequence.
But
of
I
the
really
free market.
Hated that.
But when that shit happened, I was like, okay, now I have a beef with gentrification. y'all killed
you. Want to go downstairs with me?
Can
we pause?
Sure. Yeah, we can do whatever the fuck we want, bro.
Okay.
We're gonna take a pause because we have to go get his Uber Eats.
Yo, I got some Indian food, dog.
Yeah.
Wait up.
All right. The Infinite Podcast.
I mean, that'd be dope, but anybody got time for that.
Infinity is so cool.
Just that concept.
Yeah, it's weird because it's a concept, but it's also a reality.
Yeah.
Right. Like. It is the only way we can explain nature, so that in of itself makes it a reality. Mm-hmm. I think it goes beyond perception, and it goes to something that's empirically shown to work, but then at the same time, we can never understand it. Yeah, so totally. It's a concept to us.
Well, and like, it. How do we even define infinity? It's through time, which is a man-made construct, which infinity actually always existed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we came through and tried to define it, which I think that's nuts.
Yeah. Well, so I've also heard that time is this relationship with energy. Like, time exists because energy exists.
Okay. So, yeah. Movement.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, do you know about how time slows down when you move real close to the speed of light? Have you heard of that? It's called time dilation.
Cool.
So imagine you're watching a clock. The hands of a clock just rotate, like the second hand.
Not like on my iPhone.
Right. Not like on your iPhone. So the only reason you can see that second hand move is because light keeps hitting it over and over. Right? It hits it, bounces off. So imagine that you're riding one of these light waves.
And you're going, yeah.
So what happens to the second hand?
It stays.
It stops.
Yeah, it stays.
So that's what happens to time. Yeah. So time, if you're the closer you move to the speed of light, the slower time goes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's just try that.
Yeah.
Then we could live forever. Definitely. Technically. Try that. Or your body would explode if you actually travel the speed of light.
I mean,
it would turn into
energy.
They do it in Star Trek. Warp speed.
Yeah, they do a lot of dumb shit in Star Trek. I'm not a big Star Trek fan.
Also some dope shit.
They do some dope shit.
Are you a Star Wars fan?
I love Star Wars. Don't like Star Trek. I feel like Star Trek is for the geeks.
Okay.
And Star Wars is like for the cool kids.
Oh. Well, Star Wars is super hip right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's super in.
Definitely. It's weird when you hear younger kids say like, oh, have you seen the old ones? And you're like... What, like the ones in the 80s? Like, no, like the ones with Hayden Christensen. You're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, they suck.
We watched those. Those were an abomination.
But it's funny because the New Hope is also not, it's not great. Like, if you watch it, you're like,
Right,
it was made in the 70s. It's not.
Yeah, but it's.
It's the first
one. It's
though.
The freaking Star Wars, dude. Yeah, like, what, so, I mean, you know.
I just think people need to, you know, like, whenever people watch The Force Awakens, they're like, this is bullshit. It's not as good as... It's like, it's better than the first one. He stopped a fucking laser beam coming at his face. Kylo Ren just stops it in midair. I didn't see shit like that on the first one. Like, I didn't see anything.
That's
like
awesome. That.
So, I'm a fan of the new trilogy that's coming up. I'm generally not a hater, though.
I haven't seen the new Star Wars.
The new?
I haven't seen that new. It's good. Actually, I've got... me and my old roommate, we are watching all of the Oscar-nominated films.
Yeah.
And I've seen about half of them now, and they're pretty, I mean, well, it's interesting. Some of them suck. Don't know how that happens, but I guess it does.
Harvey Weinstein, man. He gets them up there.
Freaking bastard.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
So, no, I actually lived with a couple who did that. When I was in grad school, right?
Okay.
I lived with six other people in a house.
Sure.
Two of them were dating.
Mm.
And they would watch.
So I lived in a house after college.
Oh, that's right.
With my current wife. With my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time. She was my girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, I forgot you did that.
Yeah.
That was a big house too, right?
The church.
It was a freaking church.
It was
literally
awesome.
A hollowed out church that y'all made into.
God, that was so cool.
They tore it down, right?
No, it's still there.
Oh, it's still there?
I thought they were gonna tear it down. Katie's roof collapsed. That's why we left. But like, people like Sammy just moved. Sammy just moved out like a year ago, I think, or something like that.
A few years ago.
But still, he stayed there for a while.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like this weird in between the hood and like the really nice part of Dallas.
Well,
like
when we were there, we shared a fence with Section 8 housing. Like, people got murdered in our neighborhood. But now, the church is still there, but the freaking projects, it does not look like there was anything there ever. It's crazy.
Wow.
They, like, raised the whole thing. It looks like a big field.
Wow.
And, like, that was people lived there, dude. It was crazy, dude. It's nuts.
That is nuts. So, yeah.
Gentrification, bro.
Yeah. So, anyways, I live with two people who just
Sorry.
I don't care.
Star Wars. Well, topic at hand.
The Oscar.
Oh, the Oscars, yes.
Yeah. So what's your favorite one?
So far, Get Out.
Get Out was the shit.
Get Out is, so far, I mean, there's not a movie that touches it right now.
Have you seen his interview on Conan?
Uh-uh.
So Conan's interviewing him, and he's like, why did you want to make this film? I'm almost positive it's Conan, so if I'm speaking out of turn. And he goes, black people don't really have like a indie kind of horror film.
Huh.
We don't have that. And Conan goes, well, no, there's this one, I guess there's a classic film predominantly with black people. And he was like, no, like that's not.
That's not it.
That's not it. And then he goes, so then what would you say is like a black indie film? He goes, I made the first one.
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck. Like he started, I mean, like when you think of it, there's so many people who love horror. Probably a ton of them are black, and they never get to see a bunch of black people in the movie unless they're getting killed.
Right.
Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's terrible.
They should definitely not have that experience all the time.
That shouldn't be the predominant experience.
My favorite part was right at the beginning of the movie when you see, and if you haven't seen it, watch it. Spoilers. It's been out for like a fucking year now. Yeah. So. It's on you if I'm spoiling it. That's what I'm saying.
Totally. Or but, just don't listen to this podcast.
I loved that he was... No, definitely listen.
Well, then just pause it. Go watch the movie.
Tell everyone to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
No, but anyways. I love that he's this black dude walking through a suburban neighborhood. Uh-huh. And that's like the horror scene.
Yeah.
And then the minute he feels bugged out, he was like, fuck this. And he starts going the other way. And I was like... That's exactly how
it feels.
A minority would react.
It's totally. It gets, it's nuts.
It's a great movie.
Such a good movie. And ties back to our previous conversation about race. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It really does a lot. I mean, it speaks to everything, which is pretty great. Pretty good. And it's an incredibly scary movie and incredibly funny. And I don't know. I think Jordan Peele's a genius, not just because people say I look like him, but because...
He's they say you look like him?
Yeah, dude. Here, let me show you.
You get that all the time?
So, the funny thing is, sure, this actually, I guess, ties in. There's only two people ever that anyone, like two movies that have ever come out, I'm going to tie it all together here, that is anyone's ever texted me while they're watching the movie saying, you look like this person. One of them was the actor that played Finn on Star Wars, black dude. And the other one's Jordan Peele. And, like, especially when Keanu Peele was on and popping, dude, I would get messages all the time like, this guy looks like you so bad. And so most people, when I tell them, oh, people think I look like Jordan Peele, they're like, oh, no, you don't. That's weird. He's a black guy. But then when you look at pictures, especially when I had my buzz cut, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, your face structure is definitely similar. You have the same hairline.
Like if you glanced at that and a little bit lighter with my buzz cut, totally. I mean, I have those glasses.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's crazy.
Right? So it's just funny that I've, talking about kind of being biracial and not ever having that thing where, like, people look like me or whatever, even more comedic it is that – really, my celebrity lookalike's a black dude. You know, it's like, it's really funny.
Isn't he also biracial?
I don't know.
I think he is.
Oh, okay.
I think he and Peele are both biracial.
Oh, cool. Maybe I should look that up.
Yeah, let's check that out.
What, do you want to actually look it up?
Sure.
What am I just going to say? Is Jordan Peele biracial? Is that a weird thing?
Sure. Hey, Google. Is Jordan Peele biracial?
Yeah.
These came back from a search.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Right on.
Well, there you go. Hopefully there'll be more biracial people and we all look alike, I guess. Yeah. Doesn't matter what. You just put them together and you get nuts.
Absolutely.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. You wanted to talk about someone else who was biracial.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so when we were getting...
this entire podcast is about this.
Normally, we never talk about race, you and me. We talk about politics. We talk about hip-hop. We talk about art.
Yeah.
We talk about other shit.
Yeah.
So this is weird that...
this entire thing is all about race. Interesting.
But anyways, shout out to... Well, you should shout him out because you told me about this artist in Dallas. So.
Well, and you also shared with me some information, which is dope. But yeah, it was a Dallas artist, Jeremy Biggers. He's amazing, phenomenal. I'm a big believer of his work. I've been following him for a while. And I finally bought a piece from him. I don't know. I guess that might have been a month ago, maybe a few weeks ago. And I'm really stoked about it. It's awesome. So he does a lot of different types of, I guess, artwork or whatever. But he's got a few.
He does a lot of things on wood.
Yeah. So I don't know what you call it, but they're like, they're series, right? So he does a lot of lips. He does these like super hyper realistic lips that he'll paint on a die cut wood. A piece of wood that is in the shape of a lip. So the canvas is, you know, the painting is the canvas. It just goes right on the wall, which is dope. But then one of my favorite parts of his series is that he does these images and they're either portraits or sometimes they're, you know, people moving or whatever. But he does almost like a double exposure kind of thing. Hyper realistic. So it looks like the piece I have is this Michael Jordan piece and he has like three legs and like four arms or something, you know, and it looks really weird, but really cool. And he's really explored this theme through like all these different people, different types of people. And it's just really interesting. And it's almost like this kind of double look, but I didn't know what you shared with me, which is even more amazing.
Yeah, so I believe, and I'm always afraid to say things.
Well, are you sure? Like, you did research or what?
I watched an interview
where
he said he's biracial. So unless I'm misremembering that, he's biracial.
Or he's lying about himself.
Yeah, or I'm lying. But sure. Regardless.
Whatever. We're all lying here, I guess.
But, yeah, so he would paint someone's face, but then he would then double it. So you would see two faces in one painting, and he talks about how that's him learning how to jump between, you know, being white and being black.
Mm.
And I think because I'm not biracial, that's a lot of... I know that being Mexican and going to college and grad school and more grad school... And then going back home and being with my family, that was like putting one hat on, taking off another, going to work, coming home. You're always switching hats.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine being biracial where you can, like, you live in a biracial home.
Right.
And then, so with certain people, you act a certain way. Sure. Maybe you change around other people.
Totally.
But his art's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, and you can find him on Instagram at Stem and Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
That's Stem and Thorn. All one word. And just look at his shit. It's so good. He's got a cool story. He basically just said, you know, I'm going to go into art full time. His wife is hella supportive of it. She was like, no, we got this. You can do it. And
his wife's an amazing artist too. She's a rapper, Sam Lau.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And she's phenomenal. You know, I mean, she's just great. I think both of them are incredibly talented people here in Dallas. I think Jeremy Biggers is the truth, man. I think he's going to blow up. I'm really excited about it. I really hope he does too, because I just made an investment in his piece.
Yeah.
I told him that. I was like, yo, I'm banking on you, bro. Like, I want you to blow up because I'm going to sell this.
For mil.
Yeah, later on. Come on.
For milli.
I want to be like that Jay-Z song.
Yeah, but look him up. I mean, if you're into art at all, you should be.
Yeah, he's
you
great.
Should definitely know who this guy is. I want him on the podcast. I need to find a way to reach out to him.
I'm just holler.
Yeah, I need to holler at him. But His shit's good, man. I support it. He has a dope website, too. His website's sick. Have you been on it? Clean.
Yeah.
Fucking clean. I love a good clean website.
What do you think about the Infinite Agency website?
They always have sick websites.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Y'all are always doing, like, new cool shit with y'all's website. Like, on the last one, it would, like, zoom into the office.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did y'all even get that? Was it just someone walking with the camera? Was it a drone? What'd y'all do?
I believe it was just a camera on a dolly, but the doors opened. They're not automatic, so we have fishing line that they just pull at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's camera tricks.
But it looks good.
But I will say, there's a new website we just built. We just built the new Twin Peaks website, which is pretty cool. But there's a new website for Haywire, which is this restaurant that's on Plano or something up north. That website is probably the dopest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it's amazing. I don't think it's up yet. Are you looking for it?
Yeah, but it's not up, so whatever. But no, man. You've done a lot. Like, just some background on Flip. He went to school, majored in drama.
Yeah, theater.
Did a master's in...
theology.
Well,
theological studies, if you want to.
Theological studies.
You want to get technical.
While you were doing ministry.
Right? Yeah.
And then you just up and made it.
And quit it all. And I started freelancing in coffee shops and doing birthday invitations and wedding websites and logos for whatever companies. And teamed up with a partner, Jonathan, and just kept doing it.
That's what's up, man.
That's what's up.
Yep. That's hustle, people.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. It's been 8 years now.
That long already?
Yeah, we're in our 8th year, and it's crazy. Never would have dreamed it, but here we are.
Yeah. It's been cool, man. It's been cool watching your business grow to what this is. I mean, we're in one of his conference rooms. It's pretty ridiculous.
This place looks cool. We also inherited it from an architecture firm who made it actually look really cool.
Yeah.
We just came in and kind of painted the walls and stuff. But.
Well, I think it's cool that you put so much value on looking good. Right? Mm. Like, you want the inside of where you work to look good.
Mm. Well, it's what it's all about, right?
You want everything to look good.
Well, it's all about brand experience, right? So, like, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, where are consumers, where are people, experiencing your brand? And at work, I mean, you got to experience your brand in a real way because, like, that's the place you fucking spend all your time, you know? So it's like, if you don't tell the stories on the wall, if you don't like live what you guys, believe, if it's not worth coming to work and, we're telling the story, as soon as you walk in here. And that's what we're trying to do. Like, that's the point is like, brands have to tell you got to figure out what your story is. You got to tell it and you got to be consistent with it and be truthful to it.
Absolutely. So for all y'all need help with branding, listen.
Oh, yeah. Holla.
Holler at him.
Holla. If you want to.
No. Yeah, dude. It's been wild, man. And we're also talking about some Donald Glover.
Okay. You want to talk about, Childish Gambino?
I love Childish Gambino. Yeah.
He's amazing. He's an amazing rapper. I think, honestly, right now we're in a really great stage of hip-hop, I feel.
I think Black Lives Matter has a lot to do with that.
That's interesting.
I think, I mean, for just like take the politics out of it, even though it is a politically based movement,
sure.
But it brought so much good art to the forefront of culture that artists who were not irrelevant but more underground started getting light.
Sure.
I mean, Solange made a good album.
Sure.
Like, that says a lot there.
Come on, if that's not BLM,
like,
I don't know what is.
Solange Knowles made an awesome album. Like, she's not that great, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that album, Don't Touch My Hair, that's a great song.
Oh,
that whole album was sick. I heard it and I was like, oh my God. If Solange is making good music, like, something big's going
something
on.
Something good's happening in the world.
Yeah, so. I mean, it was a crazy thing, man. And then Kendrick dropped his album. Childish Gambino dropped his album. We had so much good music.
I think that, like, yeah. And what I really love about, and there's a few things too. I, I was having a conversation with a friend about this, but you know, there's so much. I thought it was so funny that, you know, people show up to the Grammys with, you know, the black dresses and stuff like that, because, you know, it's the Me Too movement, all that stuff, sexual harassment, which I'm totally behind into. It's just funny at the Grammys because most hip hop music is like degrading towards women, you know, and that's a part of the culture of hip hop music. And, or at least it's been a part of the culture of hip hop music when you think of the Little Waynes of the world or the.
And there's definitely a subculture of hip hop.
Sure, sure. And that still exists, right? And there's still misogyny and there's still all that stuff. But when I think about, you named a few of them, but like, you know, Kendrick Lamar, Childish Gambino, we talked about Logic earlier. Even Macklemore, which I really like Macklemore.
His new album is really good. I have a love-hate.
Well, sure. I mean, he is what he is. But what I love about it is that, you know, those guys right there, and they're all men, so maybe some women need to put some conscious hip hop in the world, which I know they are. They're just not mainstream right now. But, you know, we have a lot of great options to listen to messages that we love, that's on the radio and all that stuff, but it's messages that are kind of contrary to what hip. I mean, it's like the conscious hip hop of like the 90s, like all that stuff that.
But with dope ass beats and good production,
right? You know, but also in the mainstream. It's like Black Eyed Peas before. You know, it was like all that great stuff, all that underground stuff that like that kind of made way in the kind of early 90s, but or in late 80s, early 90s, but fell to all the kind of the gangster rap and it is what it is. That was a political time, obviously, and charged. And so getting into there, and but you know, you have that gangster rap, you've got the, you know, NWAs of the world that really influence our whole genre of music that we continue to listen to. And I think that you're seeing that conscious hip hop has always been there, and there's been elements of it. And that's always been a part of the culture, but never where you can. I remember like Kanye's like first album, right?
College Dropout.
Yeah, sure. Where he's
that album is so good.
What he says like first with the Benz in a backpack, you know, where he's talking about like he's this like street kid, conscious kid, but now he's like going to be in this hip hop world with Jay-Z, and you got it's all about you know, he has that song with Common on that album where he's where he talks about that, where he's like, you know, but he's talking about money, hoes and rims again, and it's still about the Benjamins, you know, like he's calling that, and he started out as a conscious rap. I mean, really, when College Dropout is like all that, and then you know, obviously he comes in and he has his whole story or whatever, but I said all that to say right now is a great time because I think they're winning Grammys, and there's like these artists that we're honoring that have messages of like cool stuff. Like, you know, don't fucking beat your wife, right? Like, treat women with respect, you know, gay people are cool too. Positive messaging, you know, it's like,
absolutely.
There's some like good stuff and real things I think that people are
experience
able to and wrestle with and talk about, and that's what I think art does, right? Art is supposed to do that. It's supposed to spur these conversations, these tough things that we're that's hard to talk about.
What's like even and well, before I say that, even going back on the music thing, like you even have artists who were underground for a long time who brought it up, like her. Her music is her name is her, right? Her music is fucking ridiculous. She's so good. Sir is really good. That's another artist. Her and Sir did a song that's also really good.
He and she. There's actually a group called He and She, actually, I think.
Yep.
They're not a rap group, but.
No. Whatever. So, I don't know. I do know that the whole Black Lives Matter movement help put light on what black culture contributes to everyday culture, right? But then even hip-hop's not predominant. It's not a black, if you really look at its roots, it's not a black cultural thing. It's a New York inner city thing. It was like a Puerto Rican black neighborhood. There's elements of jazz, there's elements of salsa, and that's kind of like when you fuse them together, you got hip hop. That's how a lot of hip hop started. At least like the jazz influenced hip hop was very Latin based. It's just we didn't have a lot of rappers.
That's true.
And so I don't know. I just think it's important to just acknowledge, like, even if you don't agree with everything Black Lives Matter does or says, it put some good light on what we're not at least giving acknowledgement to. And so I think that's why I have a love-hate relationship with Macklemore. His music is so good, but at the same time, like, so he'll say, I hate commercialism, but then he'll buy, like, really nice shoes. So it's like you don't really hate, or not commercialism. Well, he does hate commercialism, but he hates, you know, he's like, I don't want to be a consumer. I don't like this consumer culture, but he'll buy, like, Nikes, and he'll buy really nice clothes. So it's like, shut the fuck up. But at the same time, he also uses his privilege to, like, put a message out there to say, like, hey, I can only do this because black people before me influenced me, and you should really be paying attention to them. So I thought that was cool. Like, whenever I heard that White Privilege song, I didn't think I was going to like it because he normally annoys me when he gets political, but it was dope. Like, I heard it and was like, okay, this is a good song.
Yeah.
All right, Macklemore.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Right.
Okay, Macklemore.
You all right.
Well, and, like, to be honest, man, like, his beats, I mean, just his music, do they pump me up, bro? Like, yeah. I love that stuff. I love to work out to it, you know?
No, it's good. It's good shit.
Good stuff.
Yeah. You working out these days?
I'm trying to, bro.
What are you doing? That CrossFit?
No. So I'm too out of shape to do CrossFit again. No, I'm serious, dude. I tried to do a CrossFit workout last weekend. I did. And my back hurt. Like, my back was sore for 4 days. Like, painful. Like, I couldn't sit. I had to stand. Like, and I'm just like, I can't be this hardcore yet. I got to, like, work it up. My mind still, you know.
Yeah.
I still want to. But it's real in the field, dude.
You gonna take some tests?
Getting older, bro.
Take some tests, man.
Some tests about what?
Some testosterone.
Oh.
Some TRT.
I don't know, bro.
It helps.
Sure. I don't know. I just haven't thought of it.
I mean, I think you can get TRT, like, from your doctor.
I'll ask her. I'll say, hey, you got some testosterone around here?
Yeah, I mean, if your T levels are low enough, they'll fucking hook you up.
Do I need that?
No. I think every man passes, like, prime age, which I think gets later and later on in life as medicine gets better. So it used to be 28. Now I think, like, it's 32, right? Like, some of the best athletes aren't 28 anymore. They're in their 30s, and they're killing it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like, the best, like, in MMA, really good fighters are in their 30s.
Well, isn't Shaun White, who just won his third gold medal, he's like 30-something?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely took steroids. I'm not even gonna... I mean, there's so much... I mean, look at Icarus, that movie. Did you watch it?
Mm-mm.
It just put a whole light on how Russia doped all their athletes.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
And... But I just think an important thing to take away from that documentary, plus another documentary called Bigger, Stronger, Faster, made by Chris Bell, who's a power lifter, and his two brothers did steroids, but he didn't. He tried them and didn't like them and got off of them. But he talks to the guy who used to, I guess, run the Olympic Commission, and he's talking to this guy. And the guy brought up the Carl Lewis story and just saying how Carl Lewis failed his drug test. And that's bullshit. Like, he got busted for taking steroids, and we just were like, oh, but he's an American, so fuck it. That American privilege, though.
Yeah, well, that's real.
That's real shit. So, anyways, there's TRT now. So
I don't know.
Bro, I bet you take that shit, you'll feel...
I don't even take vitamins, dog.
But I think to do it, the first thing they have to do is make sure your diet's in check. Like they're like, what are you eating?
Indian food. If you didn't get that, I'm eating Indian food, bro.
It was really good Indian food. Roti grill.
Roti grill.
It's fucking
delicious. I don't think you're supposed to... I don't think Indians roll their
arms. They don't roll. I wasn't... Roti grill.
Roti.
I almost can't help rolling my arms.
Roti. Roti grill. Roti grill.
But... they'll like check your diet to make sure you're not eating shit, because like your food can, what you eat can affect your testosterone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, stay away from sugars, carbs, shit like that. That's going to increase your testosterone levels. But then once you've done that, if you're still showing low tests, they'll hook you up with some tests.
Like some shots or some?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can take a shot in your ass.
I'm good.
I recommend shots over pills, because pills get filtered twice to your liver, whereas shots don't.
I ain't putting a shot in my ass, bro.
You have to put it in your ass. You can put it wherever. Stomach.
I don't want to put a shot in my body.
That's fair.
I mean, whatever.
Whatever. Sorry, man. I was like for a long time really into studying steroids.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because I was competing in powerlifting all the time.
And you were like, should I take
it? I was debating, like, should I start taking steroids? And then I looked at my numbers and was like, I'm not close to that level yet. Like, I think you should start.
The steroid. You're like, if you're going to take steroids, take them now.
I mean, I think for people who are considering taking steroids as an athlete, they should really ask themselves, is everything else in check? Right? How's my eating?
Well, I don't think people should take steroids.
I definitely disagree with that. I think they should be legal.
Yeah. Why?
Because, one, I think it's... there's just a whole lot going into this, but it's just shown that they have a lot of health benefits.
Really?
Yeah, testosterone has been shown to lower the risk of heart disease in older men. It's been shown to lower the risk of high cholesterol in lower men. So there's all these diseases that men start getting when they get older related to your hormones. Mm. Testosterone pretty much just fixes all that shit.
Okay.
Right. I think it's dumb that it's not legal. But I'm not talking about like trend.
Testosterone is legal.
Testosterone is legal by a doctor.
But anabolic steroids are not.
Well, testosterone is an anabolic steroid.
What?
An anabolic steroid is just a steroid that builds muscle. Like you have an anabolic steroid and then you have a catabolic steroid.
What are all these things?
So a catabolic steroid tears things down. Like a shot of fucking, what's that shot that they always give athletes to like reduce their inflammation? A cortisol shot. That's a steroid.
Yeah.
But it's a catabolic steroid. Or a corticosteroid steroid. Sorry. That's what they're called. And so they just reduce inflammation, whereas anabolic steroids build muscle and increase testosterone levels in the body.
Crazy.
So you have tests, like basic testosterone, but then you start getting into like DECA, which is an oral steroid. Probably shouldn't take it. It has been... it's just not good for your liver to take oral steroids in general. But then you have Tren. Tren's like the highest fucking steroid. It's a horse steroid. And people take it and they get jacked as fuck and it's crazy. And that has actually been linked to... like, roid rage is a myth, except for Tren. Like with Tren, they've had a lot of cases of people getting... and a lot of it's anecdotal where athletes will come out and talk about it. Like in the lifting community, a lot of people talk about what they do. And they're like, yeah, I took Tren and I was just always irritated and angry. But when I took DECA, I wasn't.
Hmm.
And so it's just a lot of interesting shit.
Where do you get steroids?
I've been offered steroids all... like, when I go to the gym and lift, I get offered steroids.
What? They're like, yo, man. And they just like... gonna.
Well, because I'm big. And so they're like, do you need help losing weight? Take steroids. And it's like, nah, I'll diet first.
Huh, you know? That's interesting. Yeah. They're like gym drug dealers.
Right.
Right.
That's a crazy story was I was working out and I went to the gym and I think I just did some basic benching and rows and a little bit of light deadlifting just to like kind of stretch my hamstrings and my back. But I still do a lot, right? Like even this Sunday I went to the gym for the first time in a couple months, and before that I hadn't gone in like months and you know, I'm just not consistent anymore. Obviously months between workouts is definitely consistent. Yeah. But I think, you know, I was still benching like 315, 350 pretty nuts. Well. I think I just lifted for so long that my strength is it's just not going to fade very quickly. But anyways, I went to the gym one time and this guy was like, we're in there and he's an older dude and you could tell he's fucking roided out, man. Like veins are popping everywhere. His body's looks old, but like old muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
Old muscle's a weird look.
Yeah.
if they put it on when they're old. If you put it on when you're young and then you're muscular, your body looks good. But I feel like he was not. And then just when he was 60, he was like, fuck it. Like jamming needles into his thigh. So he tells me like, oh, go to Dr. So-and-so. They'll hook you up. And I was like, no, I think I'm good, man. I was like, but I do think they should be legal. I think it's bullshit. He's just like, yeah, it's bullshit that it's illegal because it keeps men like us. And I was just like, dude, I'm not like you. Like, you're trying to lump me in with you. Yeah, and he's telling me all this just in his, like, his fucking tighty-whitey underwears in front of me. And I'm just, like, changing. And I was like, bro, this is a weird conversation to have.
That's funny.
In front of all these people, too.
Yeah,
doesn't give a fuck.
That's funny.
So
I had no idea. Maybe it's because I'm not, never did that.
Well, yeah, so in lifting, it's a big deal. So I considered doing it, but decided, like, I wanted to hit certain numbers naturally before I did it. And I hit most of them, but then I just quit lifting as much as I used to, which is sad, you know.
I mean, I'll do some cleans.
Cleans are hard. I don't have the wrist flexibility for that.
Okay. I could do some deadlifts. I could do that.
Yeah. Deadlifts are fun.
Some jerks.
Like a jerk? Like where you...
A clean and jerk.
A clean and jerk, yeah. Snatches.
Snatches. I suck at snatches.
Those are hard.
They're very hard.
Yeah. It's all about balance, right? Like in powerlifting, it's very technical. But the bar's pretty much moving in a vertical path the whole time. Whereas Olympic lifting, that bar is all over the place.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be... that's the whole thing. It's supposed to just go up and down, but you have to move your body around.
Right.
You know, so, but... Yeah, you're supposed to...
Yeah, I remember the first time I cleaned, like, I can't remember. I was in high school. It was, like, 250 or something. Mm-hmm. And the coach told me... Because I was strong in high school... But I just did not, like, cleans I suck at.
Mm.
And he was like, get under the bar. Like, don't try to bring the bar to you. Like, get.
Right, yeah.
Like, lift it and then get the fuck under that bar.
Yeah.
And that changed everything. I was like, oh, shit, I'm not thinking of this the right way at all.
You're just like.
Yeah. Like,
how do I put it up to my chin?
Like a row, right?
Yeah.
Like, just row it up to your.
Oh, that's funny.
To your chin.
That's terrible. I mean, you could do that, but that would be very painful.
That would be extremely dangerous.
You couldn't do 200, 300 pounds. You
definitely could not. I love lifting. I could talk about lifting all day, man. Or Strongman. There's a Strongman documentary on Netflix.
Oh, that's cool. There's a new CrossFit documentary I want to check out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
CrossFit's cool. I love it. I don't like that they make everyone do... Like, I like coaches who don't make everyone do the Olympic lifts. Because they're so technical. And you have to have such good joint flexibility to do them. That I appreciate when coaches are like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just do static lifts, right? Do squats, deadlifts.
Yeah. But it's so much fun, though. That's a real fun
part. Sure, and if it's light enough to where you're not going to be putting a lot of pressure on your joints, it's good. But I've seen coaches not do that. And not every – like most coaches. I think when CrossFit started, you saw a lot of coaches who were coming in just trying to make a quick buck, open up a box, and just train people like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got that shitty reputation all over the internet. And I think – they were really conscious about how they were certifying coaches.
Right, yeah.
And who they were letting open up boxes.
Oh, they just, yeah. And it's really hard. I think there's like a new level. My friend's a coach, but
yeah.
There's like this new level that's like, I don't know, like only 20 people in the world can get certified to this level at this point because it's so hardcore.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a lot of stuff, man.
Maybe? I don't know.
And then that, and they brought paleo to the forefront. And then with paleo came keto.
Sure.
Keto's been around for years.
Right.
And this year, it blew up. Everyone's doing keto.
Trying to do that ketosis.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, keto is just you don't eat carbs. Or you eat, like, if you're a man, probably less than, like, 50 or 30 grams of carbs a day, depending on your macronutrient intake. But basically, you just put your body in a stage where it's burning fat all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
I know.
You just don't eat sugars.
But so, I like them.
Sugars are good.
I like them addictive. All. I like all. I like food. I don't like to cut down on it, which sucks.
It's just crazy that our government lied to us so long about food on purpose.
What? Well, which part?
Like salt.
Like, sugar too.
like saying that salt caused heart disease or high cholesterol or high blood pressure. That was debunked in the 70s, and they promote it. And doctors will tell you, like, don't eat salt. Salt's an essential mineral.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need salt. You also need...
But sugar is bad for you, though, right?
Sugar is terrible for
you. And the government subsidizes all the sugar.
Corn.
Right?
Fucking and corn. If you grow corn, the government pays you money.
Doesn't corn have, like, no nutritional value? A little bit.
If it has nutritional value, so, like, it can, but your body doesn't always break down corn.
Well, right. That's why you see it in your poop.
Yeah. That's why when you shit, you see corn. And so, I mean, but then they'll take it and they're like, well, let's make a fucking sweet syrup out of it and pour it in Coke and...
Game over, bro.
I mean, it's delicious, but it kills you. Mm-hmm. And it fucks with your brain, your hormone development, all that shit. That's crazy. And then it gets all, and then it gets into like poor people in food deserts, right? And that's all they have are refined sugary foods. Fucks with their brain development, fucks with their behavior.
Yeah, sure.
You have higher cases of ADHD, higher cases of.
Shit rolls downhill, you know.
Oh, it's bad.
You know what I'm saying?
All for a buck. Like,
well, welcome to capitalism, bro. I mean, I ain't gonna talk about that, but shit.
Yeah.
It's true, though.
Yeah, man. Well, I think we can wrap it up.
I don't even know what you're going to take out of this.
None.
Shut up.
Finger
up. Not take out, but I don't even know how you're going to cut this.
What do you mean?
You're not going to just gonna go?
Yeah.
Sweet.
This is how I do my podcast, dude. Which is probably why, you know, I think it's definitely for, I think you have to have a certain kind of taste to like enjoy the pod. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking to someone, are you on one topic the entire time?
No,
you're catching up with someone. Yeah, you're talking. Yeah, you're having a good time.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's all I want it to be.
It's awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Brother, it was a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
We're going to go. Bumps. Y'all take it easy. Subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe. I was told to say that, but I'm going to say it because I love Leah. And she said, you need to tell people to subscribe. So
yeah, right, subscribe.
Man. Subscribe,
let's
man.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Yep. Shout us out, and you can find us at Big Guy Small Talk on all social media outlets. Do you have anything coming up that you need to tell the world about?
Just life. No. Are you talking about like my plug? You want me to plug something?
If you have anything to plug, now's
the
time to do it.
Just go to theinfiniteagency.com and see what's good.
Yep. Hit a thumbs up on that Facebook page.
Oh, well, if you like us, if you follow us on Instagram, we've got a little sign, or what is it? It's like a little tracker that we have.
I saw that
in the social media department. It's cool. It flips every time someone follows.
It's wooden too. It looks looks like it does not work.
Right.
Like you see it, you're like, there's no way that's electrical.
And it works.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope. So do that, and you'll make us smile during our work day.
No. I'm gonna buy like 10,000 Russian bots and
do it, dude.
Bring them numbers out.
I'm down. Break the shit. I don't care.
All right, everybody. Peace.
Peace.